To be here once again. Appreciate that beautiful prayer and ask that you would continue to pray. Jackson, Lauren, this will be number three. I'm sorry. Maybe. But I've had a, you'll never guess where I got my subject from this time. Well, I went to see Granddaddy last week, and just one little verse he mentioned, and it's just grown into two, and Lord willing, three sermons today. And I hope to get there. I don't know. I guess I'll start in Ezekiel right now. It's very... well-known piece of passage that we quote often. chapter 16, verse 4 of Ezekiel. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. This is it's very graphic and not a pleasant picture, thought to think on. But it gets better. And, you know, our depravity, our depraved nature is not a pleasant thing to think on. But thank the Lord, it gets better. It got better, we trust. And the next verse here, after all these things, he says, to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And the next words are, and when I passed by thee. I tell you, I love that. And that's really what I've been thinking on and just going over and over in my mind, when the Lord passes by. And if the Lord be my helper this morning, I want to talk about when the Lord passes by and when Jesus passes by sometimes. Here we have the time he passes by for every elect child of God. This happens to everyone the same. He saw you polluted in your own blood. In the day that thou, no one pitied thee. Oh, but God passed by thee. In John 3, we can see it says, Nicodemus says, we perceive that thou art a man from God. And he says, no man can see the kingdom of God except he be born again. Then he describes it a little better. He goes, the wind bloweth when and where it listeth. No man can tell the sound whereof or whence it cometh from. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I tell you, we can think of this, and I might be getting too... getting my clincher too early here, but pass by, whenever we hear that word, pass by, or whenever we see it compared to the wind, we might think that it's just, you know, happenstance, if you will. You know, like whenever I had bent my rim in Houston last Saturday, there was two people that passed by and offered me help. But I tell you, the Lord doesn't just pass by happenstance. I tell you, he directs where he's going to be. He passes by on purpose, if you will. He says, and when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. The Lord passes by every elect child of God, and he says, live. Oh, I'm thankful for a simple doctrine, the simplicity of the gospel, where when Christ tells his elect children, when he says to the dead sinner, live, they live. It's not hard to figure out. Whenever we see it, we think, well, why doesn't everyone see that? But people want to get to establish their own righteousness and get themselves wrapped around it. I tell you, the more we can think, the less we can think of ourselves and the more on the Lord, I tell you, the Lord will bless us to see the truth, I believe. Now I want to go to the ninth chapter of the book of John here. An instance here where Jesus Christ passed by. It says, and as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. We have on record, I hadn't counted them, but there's several men that the Lord healed that were blind. And I imagine many that were not recorded, because whenever Jesus sent men to tell John, John's disciples, when he sent them back to say, tell John those things which you have seen and heard, he uses that the blind have received their sight. So I'm thinking this is something the Lord did. He healed the blind. But here, this one's unique, and that this one man was born blind. Blind from his birth. And it tells us later on, the man himself says, we've never heard, there's never been a person that was healed of his blindness that was born blind. So I believe this is special. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, oh, I get mad whenever I read this at these people. these Pharisees, who did sin? This man or his parents that he was born blind? Isn't that a foolish question? But it's what people still ask today. What did you do deserve that? That's what Job's friend said. What did you do for this to come upon you? Well, this one's saying, what did your parents do? And I don't understand how they're saying a man can be born blind from a sin he committed. But they were asking it. And they were asking what his parents did. But Jesus says, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which by interpretation is sent. He went his way therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Now, I've tried to dig down deeper in this, and I'm going to tell you what I suppose. That's dangerous ground, but what I think happened here, I believe this man received his sight when the Lord put that on his eyes. I believe he could see, but he had something in the way. And I believe the Lord here is painting a picture that there's so many in the world that have vision, that have spiritual life, that could see if they could get something out of the way. And he says, go to the pool and wash. I tell you, I believe this is a picture of baptism, where we can go when we submit ourselves to the Lord's baptism, to the commandment he has given. What does it say? Putting away the filth of the flesh. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. But what do we have? What did the Lord make man out of? Dirt? Dust of the ground? What did the Lord put on his eyes to say, go wash dust, dirt? I tell you, when we can get our flesh out of the way, then we can see. I believe what this man here had, he had something that he didn't have before, and that was vision. The born-again child of God can see. What did he say in John 3? Except you be born again, ye cannot see the kingdom of God. So we go on in this, all from Jesus passing by here. And then the people, all. Can you imagine this? What a happy day in this man's life. Wouldn't you think that all the people in the community would gather around and rejoice with him? Nope, that's not what had happened. They said, neighbors thereof, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered, a man that is called Jesus made clay, and he goes through it all. What the Lord told him to do and what he did. They said unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Now the Pharisees, they loved that Sabbath day or hated it, either one. The Lord said, I am the Sabbath. So I reckon they hated it. But they wanted to pretend like they loved it. Oh, he was healing on the Sabbath day. They tried multiple times. His disciples were picking corn on the Sabbath day as they walked through it. All kinds of things that they wanted to accuse him of doing on the Sabbath day. He healed on the Sabbath day here. And it was Sabbath day. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them the same thing. He went through it again. They say unto him, verse 17, unto the blind men again, what sayest thou of him? That he opened, hath opened thine eyes. He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that had been blind. So now they're going to bring his parents in. They're going to say, is this him? And how did this happen? The parents ended up saying, he is of age, ask him yourself. So they ask him again. Then, verse 24, then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. And this answer that he gives is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. He says, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Mm-hmm. I tell you, that's a fundamental knowledge. And I think that's the way a lot of God's children are. I can't explain. I don't know what his name, he didn't even couldn't tell you what his name was. So whenever we say that I believe that there are God's people all over this world, in every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people, all over the world, even in nations that have never heard the name Christ uttered, I believe this scripture right here. You can go to it and listen and prove it. This man didn't know who it was, but he had already changed him when he passed by. He said, you want all these answers, I can't give them to you. But I know this, something's happened to me. And I love to see that. I love to look out. You know, I talk about it, and we all talk how sad the world is, how the condition of the world. But I love it when you can look out into the world and see good things happening from children of God. People that don't go to church like they should. They ought to. But there's some, you can see good things happen. And you see that's the Spirit of God in them doing these things. This man says, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know. He started with this one thing. Mm-hmm. I tell you, the Lord's going to bless him to build upon it. Mm-hmm. I was blind, now I see. They said to him again, what did he do to thee to open thine eyes? I tell you, I would have been getting fighting mad now. After these guys keep on asking. And he even tells him, he says, if I can find it here, why herein is it a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is? Well, I can't find it. But basically, he says, if I tell you again, are you going to be his disciples also? Yeah, is this going to make a difference? Is this the time that's going to make a difference? And they answered unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins. They're going back to that first question. And dost thou teach us? That's Pharisees right there. Pharisee 101. And you know what they did? They cast him out. Now, thou wast altogether, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Now, it doesn't say Jesus passed by here, but here it says Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son? I tell you, it doesn't say, and Jesus passed by, but Jesus passed by again. He came to this man. And I told you how I believe what happened before was a picture of the new birth. Where he couldn't see, the dead alien sinner does not have, cannot see the kingdom of God, cannot see God, cannot see the truth. But then this man could see, and all he could say is, something's changed. I couldn't see, but now I can see. And then Jesus comes by again, comes to him again. And he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. I try to put my place in the situation. Can you imagine this? This man's experience. I love to get people's experience. I'd love to talk to this guy. It'd beat Brother Danny Wisner's experience. I could use another one. Someone else's. I do, I guess. He says, who is he? Do you believe on Jesus? Who is he that I might believe on? He says, it is he. He says, that thou hast both seen him. Why did he see him? Because he gave him sight. And it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. The Lord passed by. And Jesus passed by. And I believe he passed by twice. And as I said, this has just grown and grown. And of course, it grew into an hour sermon last Sunday, so we got to be careful. I'll hopefully, you know. This doesn't say he passed by, but he passed by. You know, just because it doesn't say that phrase, you don't. Chapter 5 of Mark. Thought of this last night. This is Jesus, when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. This is what we call the wild Gadarene. I used to think it was the wild Galilean, but then I read it. Who had his dwellings among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been bound with fetters and chains. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him. And the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. I used to think that this was a picture of the new birth. And I can't say that now, but I'll tell you this. The man was born again already before this verse. If it happened right before, I know not. But whenever he saw Jesus, he ran to him. He's got life right there. But when he saw Jesus far off, he ran and worshipped him. And cried with a loud voice. And said, what have I to do with thee? Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? They answered, Legion. We are many. This man didn't just have one bad spirit. He had many. And as you know the story, he sent them into a bunch of swine, some hogs. I remember Granddaddy saying, you know, all them hogs ran off the cliff there and drowned in the ocean. But I sure think I got some of that stock. That's what he told me one time. Forthwith, Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out. They ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it to the city. Now I want to skip on down. After they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. They were keeping swine, and this man was killing them. So he wasn't good for business in that aspect. But in verse 18 it says, and when he was come into the ship, He that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Don't you know? Can you imagine that? This man, he lived in the tombs. He lived in the cemetery. No man could bind him. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't chain him. He cut himself with stones. But this man that passed by immediately fixed his problem. Don't you know, wouldn't you say, I don't want to leave your side. Where are you going? I'm going too. I'm not getting out of this ship. Says, he prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. When the Lord passes by, this man was healed. He says, I don't want to leave him. And I like how this mentions, this talks about no man could bind him. I guess I am going to use it as a new birth a little. Because you can see, I was thinking of Brother Danny last night when I read this. Brother Danny was lost in his sins. He was pursuing a lie that was horrible. His mother was a faithful church member. And don't you know, it tore her up. And if she could have, she would have bound him. If I could born my children again, I would. But it says it's not of flesh or blood or any man that will. But I tell you, the Lord passed by. And he was constrained, wasn't he? As Apostle Paul says, the love of Christ constraineth us. And then he tells him, a man that didn't, he was living. It says his dwelling was among the tombs. I believe he didn't have a home. His home, his dwelling was in the tombs. But Jesus says, go home. How many friends do you think a man wandering around a graveyard, a man who many have tried to tame him, to chain him, but couldn't, he just break him? That's one of those guys you walk by, you give him a wide berth. You get your kids close when you're going by a place like that. Who's his friends? But the Lord says, go home and to thy friends. I tell you, I believe he was telling him to go. There's a church. You're going to have a church home in this town. And I want you to go home. And there at that home, there at that church, you're going to have friends there. Friends that know your past, but they have a past similar to yours. Oh, when people tell you that, oh, I don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites. I've never heard that, but I've seen it on the internet. But I tell you, not this church. I don't believe so. Not the primitive Baptist. Of course, there's a few bad apples. But I tell you, the old Baptists as a whole, I believe, know who they are. We know we're sinners. Oh, but I tell you, we know that God has passed by in our lives. And that we can say we're a sinner saved by the grace of God. We've been changed by this man. And although we can't do it perfectly, we try. And we want to serve him. We want to worship him. And I tell you, we're friends. I travel a little. Go to Mississippi. And I was just thinking, all these states. Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas, even Louisiana, Oklahoma. And it's just like family. I got family there all over. I told, man, I tell you, whenever I was in the stand at meeting up at Providence, I was, you know, you get to feeling comfortable, you never know what I'm going to say. One, I said Brother Mark Green was sad. And I was like, oh. And then I said, Brother James Isaacs, he doesn't really like Texans. He doesn't like Texas. But I tell you, whenever the Spirit of God is among us all, we love each other. That's love overcomes a multitude of sins. This man said, Jesus says, go home to thy friends and tell them what good things the Lord hath done. I have enjoyed one of the things, and you have it now. I'm sure you've had it in the past, but it's been a while here where we've got some converts. And I tell you, that's where you really see it, where you see them. And they tell you what good things the Lord has done unto them. And you can see a change in them. Why? Because Jesus passed by. And he passed by, like I said, for every child of God, but then he passes by. He passes by, timely speaking. I think the last place I want to go to is John chapter 4. I hadn't even, this is where Granddaddy's talk comes into play. Fourth chapter, John, the Samaritan woman. And as I said, passing by is not a happenstance. It's not an accidental passing by. It's not the Lord happened to be in the area, so he helped him. No, I believe this gives us a good definition and description of how the Lord passes by. Fourth chapter of John. Verse 3 says, he left Judea and departed into Galilee. Verse 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. That's the Lord passing by. He must needs go through Samaria. It says, I must be about my Father's business. Well, this was part of the Father's business. He must needs go. He cometh and he cometh to a city of Samaria. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Now, you know, Jews and Gentiles don't get along. What a Samaritan is a cross between a Jew and a Gentile. And that was worse than being a Gentile. The Jews thought less of the Samaritans than the Gentiles because they were, you know, they crosses, half and half. So that's why they didn't have anything to do with each other. Jews didn't have anything to do with them. Jesus answered, said, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now, I don't want all this, so I'm going to, but it does need to go through it. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, the well is deep. Verse 12, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Did y'all go see Jacob's well? No, okay, never mind. You should. It would have been a lot cooler if you did. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. She says, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Verse 16. There's a lot of things that I want to mention here. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou havest, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that saidst thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Now, I thought of this, and this is a convicting statement the Lord said unto her. So you've had five husbands, and the one you've got now is not your husband. You're living with him, but he's not your husband. But we don't see the conviction on her part here. And I'm going to tell you why I think that is. I think when we hear the gospel, it can convict us. It can comfort us. But I tell you, the Lord can do both at the same time. While saying this is a sin, but she's starting to see who this man is, who's talking to her. She says, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Elementary knowledge, isn't it? Like, there's something special about you. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Aunt Bev, I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to use something you said by the goat pen yesterday. After their trip to Israel, she mentioned how a lot of the reason for the unrest is everyone wants to claim buildings or locations. And here, I thought of this verse when you said that. Because, you know, the Jews over there saying, we want this, we want Jerusalem. Arabs, Jerusalem's special to us. And even some Christians over there or want to be there. And I tell you, I want to go there someday. I want to see it. But I thank God that I'm not reliant on being in Jerusalem to worship God. He says, y'all said this mountain, or our father said in this mountain, you're saying in Jerusalem. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me. The hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. So basically, forgive the frankness, but all them fighting for worship in there, Scripture says, nope. They're not worshiping there. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Verse 23 says, But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. What's this lady learning right now? Because Jesus must needs go through Samaria. And what's she going to do about it? The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And his disciples came up, but now I'm going to go to verse 29. But y'all have heard me mention how the difference the Lord made in the two that were on the road to Emmaus. How that the Lord, they had tried to constrain the Lord, saying, it's late at evening. You don't need to be traveling. Abide here with us. But then the Lord opened their eyes while they were breaking bread. And what did those two do? They ran. They ran back to Jerusalem. Brother Jeff Mosley said, they ran 7.5 miles. I said, I didn't know that. I guess I could look. And I hadn't verified it, but they ran wherever. It was a fair piece, I'll say. More than I want to run. But I tell you, they ran because they had something to tell. Now, what did this woman come to this well to do? She came to draw water. That was her purpose that day, I'm going to go get water. What does she need to get water? A water pot. Verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the man, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? That's the verse right there Granddaddy was mentioning. And it was a pretty emotional visit last Friday. He was feeling down. He said, I feel so worthless. I don't know what purpose I have now. And I think I got something to tell him now because he gives me subjects all the time. Keep them up, Granddaddy. Keep. But he just sat there and looked. He said, come, see a man. And told me all. That's isn't that normally frightening to us? It's a frightening thing to think. That's what we tell our kids. Or someone will say, the Lord knows what you're doing. The Lord knows what you did. Well, I tell you, the Lord knows everything I've done. And that, while yes, it is frightening, I want you to take comfort in it. Because every sin the Lord knows about of yours, He died for. He thought about you. She says, come see a man that told me all that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? I tell you, the Lord said he must needs go through Samaria. What a blessing that woman received. Because Jesus passed by Samaria. Because Jesus says, I must needs go through Samaria. I've heard it quoted a lot lately, Brother Sonny at the Thanksgiving deal. I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh on me. I tell you, whenever you go to church and you feel the Spirit of God present there, it's as if He said, I must needs go through Bethel today. I tell you, the Lord doesn't by happenstance go places. He blesses His children with His Spirit and passes by them in their lives. Oh, I tell you, He could have very well passed by, give us the new birth and left us alone. Oh, but we are poor and needy, but He thinks of us daily. He thinks of us. He is ever seated at the right hand of God making intercession for us. He passes by. He must needs. Isn't that a beautiful thought? The Lord must needs, I hope, the Lord must needs go through Bethel tomorrow. He must needs go to Stratton tomorrow. He must needs go to Oklahoma. He must needs go here. I tell you, He can go everywhere at the same time. He can bless His people all over the world. I don't understand how, but He does it. He must. You know, there was a second passing by where I started. Ezekiel 16. After he said, live. Well, where is it? After he said, live. Verse 8, he says, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Now, that's also new birth. But I tell you, the Lord passes by. And it's a time of love. But every time He passes by, it's a time of love. You know, He might pass by and chasteneth us. But that's love. It's not the kind of love I prefer, but sometimes I need it. And I tell you, but sometimes when He passes by, He says, I spread my skirt over. That reminds me of Ruth. Whenever she was laying at the feet of Boaz, she said, spread now thy skirt over me. That's I'm trying to remember. I'd looked it up, but it's not a skirt like we think of. I think it's like I can't remember it. Whatever it is, it's a it's like a covenant. You're entering into an oath, betrothed, if you will. That's the and 1 John 3 says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Then it says, let me go there. Brethren, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Wow. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I tell you, he passes by. And it's those moments when he passed by the first time, if you will, and said, live. That was a time of love. And he entered into a covenant with us. But every time he passes by, it's that feeling we can feel that now we are the sons of God. It's not we're going to be the sons of God. It is going to get better. It says, it doth not yet appear what we yet shall be. But you feel, he's saying, you feel this. You feel to be a son of God. I want you to know you're a son of God right now. And the best moment you've ever spent in church, the best spiritual experience you've ever felt, when the Lord passed by. It's just going to get better, because it doth not yet appear. What we shall be, but we know that. We know. Just think of all those. Those that, the blind man says, I don't know his name. Whether he's a sinner or not, I know not. I know I was blind and could now I see. Then he knew his name. Then he worshipped him, Jesus, in person. The woman at the well, I perceive that thou art a prophet. There's a Christ out there. He's coming. When he comes, he'll tell us, I am he that speaketh to you. She learned what she knew in that conversation when Jesus passed by. She learned so much. And someday we're going to learn. The Lord's going to pass by again. And remember, I'm not talking about happenstance pass by. He's going to say, I must needs come back. I believe I know it's after. Brother Clifford Goins corrected me, and I'm not going to argue with him. I always held to that belief that when the last child of God is born again, Lord's coming back. Well, he's not coming back before. It might be, I still kind of think it's going to be right after it, but I tell you, he's coming back after. He must needs. He's coming back, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But it says we're going to be like him. When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Thank you.